Call.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
We shall. Checking in at
number five.
Here's something you might have missed today with everything else that's going on. Mm-hmm. Rosie Perez is now an advocate for Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
She was on CNN today saying that this is absolutely horrible that there were so many more people, according to a Harvard study, that were killed in Puerto Rico by Hurricane Maria last year. That because the U.S. government figures, remember when the president went down, there were like 16 people were confirmed dead. And now they say there were over 5,000 people killed or died in the aftermath of this hurricane. Here she is on CNN.
It broke my heart that Roseanne Barr was the topic of social media and not the 4,600 deaths in Puerto Rico. And, you know, that begs the question, who are we as Americans? What are we becoming as Americans that we do not concentrate on our fellow Americans who are suffering endlessly in Puerto Rico?
4,000. Did I say 5,000? 4,000.
Yeah.
Over 4,000.
Still a lot more than was initially reported,
yeah.
Right?
Exactly. And interesting. It was a compelling argument. She's not a big fan of the president, though.
He has remained totally silent yet, but he is still tweeting about Roseanne Barr. We need to wake up, America. These are our fellow citizens. They are American citizens. These are our neighbors. And we're treating them like complete crap. We must take care of them. We have to take care of each other. The moral compass of America is just going down, and it is so troubling, and people are dying because of it.
I want to make something clear. He did not tweet about Roseanne Barr. He tweeted about Bob Iger.
Oh.
Still owing him an apology.
ABC mm-hmm. News or ABC president.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right, there you go. That's Rosie Perez. All right, checking in at
number four.
Speaking of Roseanne Barr, ex-husband Tom Arnold was also on the CNN last night on Anderson Cooper. And, you know, now I went back and I watched this twice.
You did?
Yeah. Because I didn't understand a word of what Tom Arnold was trying to say.
Other than he really, really, really doesn't like Roseanne anymore.
Well, I'm not sure that I got that from,
really?
From the interview. No, I got the
I
got from the interview that they that he wants to be protective of her because he thinks she's nuts, which I think is certifiably true. I think we could probably pull that out. Doesn't like Trump, I can tell you that. Not a big fan of that. Who does number two work for? That is the greatest line of Tom Arnold's professional career. But I couldn't understand because he would start a sentence and then interrupt it with another sentence, interrupt that with another sentence. I know I do that from time to time, pretty much once every minute. But in this particular case, I couldn't follow anything he was saying. Anything.
When I heard about her politics, I knew she was a when I read her social media in the very beginning, and I saw how she was so into the conspiracy stuff with Donald Trump and so how far gone she was, and the Pizzagate and Hillary's a pedophile and Obama wasn't born here and she was, you know, a birther, and how crazy that was. I just knew that this would not end well.
Now, he did make this point a lot of people have made, which is if you go through her Twitter feed,
you would have known.
ABC probably would have been able to accurately predict that this was going to happen.
This monkey thing is something she's tweeted before about black people. Why is it okay? It's a meme that she and thousands of her alt-right fans do. They love calling black people monkeys. It's not a one-time joke. Okay.
Yeah, she said something about Susan Rice a couple of years ago, right. Referencing.
Well, no, but there's more. Look on her tweet. They do it because we have a white trash racist president. That's a fact. Donald Trump is, and Roseanne and I both know it in 30 years. That's an absolute fact. And instead of saying Donald Trump going, "Okay, everybody, hold on together," he says, "Oh my gosh, what about me?" That's insane.
Somehow, even though I didn't understand a word of what he was saying, I still agreed with him.
You're like, yeah.
I did. I'm like, yeah. He's kind of right about all of that. You know, instead of saying, let's all get together on this, I'd say, no, it's exactly what he's saying is, that's right, I want my people to follow me, and because the only way they're going to follow me is if I hate everybody else.
Yeah. No one knows Roseanne better than he does, right? He's known her for years and years and years, was married to her, but, you know, it's true. You didn't need to even know her that many years. You could have just looked at her social media profile and said, hey, this is what you're getting, and either that's okay or it's not, but this hardly a surprise.
And Roseanne, he says, is in fact a nutcase.
You could see him perpetuating mental health issues for the entire country. Every day he gets on TV and lies, and he perpetuates fear and anxiety. He never says things are great. He says, oh my gosh, look how dangerous it is in the inner city and black people. And I really genuinely believe he thinks black people are dangerous and so, Mexicans are rapists. He believes that. He's perpetuating that fear to America. Watch out. Mueller's lying. He's after me. And so Americans are sitting home like Roseanne, and her fans are like, oh my God, what is happening out there? And they get anxiety, and they have anyone with mental health issues like Roseanne is going to heighten things.
He's making a really good point there, which is, you know, he's playing to a base of people, not all Trump voters. Let me make this totally clear. But there is a base of supporters that Donald Trump has, that the alt-right has and engenders, which is based on paranoia. And these are people who are already kind of a little out of balance to begin with. I think we know, everybody knows that one person at Thanksgiving dinner that I'm talking about, that's a little out of balance, and that they're totally driven into this by the constant drumbeat, whether they're watching, you know, conservative media or they're on the internet or whatever it is. They just get sucked up into this thing. And he makes an excellent point. I know he's nuts too, but he makes an excellent point. Talked about how he was, drunk and a drug addict and all that, and he's had his own mental issues.
Sure, he did. He said that she's so-and-so, but I am too. I mean, he admitted that. And said that someone should have taken the phone out of her hand, but I don't know that you can ever do that, really.
It is interesting, because the team that was producing that show, ABC signed on to that show, not because of Roseanne. Let's just give lie a little bit to this theory that they should have known about Roseanne. They probably did know about Roseanne, but they had Whitney Cummings, who, you know, did Two Broke Girls, made that into a gigantic
hit. Great cast, no question.
And Whitney, she also had her own show on NBC, wasn't quite as successful, but she has become, you know, from a very prolific stand-up comic, she became one of the power brokers in Hollywood as a sitcom executive producer.
Right. The writers were fantastic.
And she was able to get an amazing writing crew led by Wanda Sykes,
who's great,
to write that series. And that's why ABC liked the whole team, and they thought, well, if it's a success, maybe she'll stay sane. What Tom Arnold said last night on CNN is interesting, which is because it was a success, it drove her even crazier. And this may have been an act of self-destruction because the pressure of being on a hit show was too much for her.
Well, that's interesting. But the show is called Roseanne, so you do buy into
everything
that she is when you decide to do that show.
And now she's threatening to sue, and she wants to go after. She's not going to go away quietly, she says. And she's turned on some of the cast members who turned on her for her comments, and it's just a mess.
And there might be a spinoff, who knows, with some of the other cast members.
I don't think, you know, they were talking about that, because the question is, they have to pay these people. And they're paying big money to John Goodman and to Laurie Metcalf. And they're thinking, well, can we do another series with them since we already have them under contract for this money? But maybe not as those characters, because they're, you know, I don't think there's going to be an appetite for that, you know, because what do you do? What do you
Roseanne?
Do with Roseanne? Where's Roseanne? Went to jail because she's, you know, I mean, it's like, what do you do?
They've these things before.
Yeah. Although you could send her to jail and then you could have her come out and it would be the highest rated show of all times. Oh, now I'm starting to think like a TV executive. That scares me. All right, let's check with Judy, find out right now what's happening at the bottom of the hour.
Spoiler alert, author Joyce Carol Oates will be at Printers Row Lit Fest June 9th. Get tickets now, printersrowlitfest.org.
Top 5-5 continues right here on The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. We have worked our way all the way to
number 3.
Tiger Woods says that he suffered back tightness during the first round of the Memorial Tournament, where he shot an even par 72. Though he says he's not concerned about his comeback.
I just have days like that. You know, it's aging, it's surgeries. It is what it is. It's just got to make the adjustments, and I'm able to make them now. The beginning of the year, I wasn't able to make them because I didn't really know what to do yet. But now you see me making these adjustments on the fly. One of the biggest adjustments, as I've been alluding to, is going from LA to Honda, making those adjustments on the fly, and I turned the season around with that.
I'm sorry, what?
He'll win a tournament this year, mark my words.
I hope so. I'm rooting for his comeback.
From going from LA to Honda.
That's like golf speak
Honda
for what?
Honda tournament.
Yes. So that was one of the, how is that an adjustment? I thought he was talking about his back. I'm confused.
He's a little over the place.
I mean, I do get that he's like Tom Arnold. I do get that he's, this is one of his favorite tournaments in Columbus.
He's won it five times. It's a Jack Nicklaus Rand tournament.
Right. Up in
Ohio.
It's in just north of Columbus, Ohio. It's the Memorial.
Moorfield Village.
Been forever. Beautiful golf courses there. And he, you know, he does love this. So this is part of that whole thing. And he gets to hang out with Nicklaus a little bit, who, you know, is the, you know, the guy that he has been chasing, will never catch now. But it is a, I do think he'll win something. I don't know if he's going to win a major, though.
This comeback does feel so much different than the past few years or past 4 or 5 years where he would get a minor back surgery. This is a major back fusion surgery. I think, yeah, back stiffness is going to happen to a 40-something-year-old golfer, but I think this is different. It just feels different.
Although you never went with the British, because even these guys...
Right, exactly. Tom Watson almost won it when he was nearly 60, because you don't have to crush the ball, 400 yards. You can play it low, let it run. I think that plays to an older golfer a little
bit. Thank God. Better. Yeah, that's making me feel much better. And the point is, it is fun to have him back, and this is the greatest talent pool of professional golfers in the history of the game right now.
That's as tough as task, is not only staying healthy, but it is stacked the talent in the field right now.
It really is. All right, checking in at
number two.
The attorney for former 49er Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid is hinting that a witness in their collusion case against the NFL could come forward with concrete evidence that there has been a conspiracy to keep them out of the league.
They then wanted to go in and, under kind of cover of night, without consulting with the Players Association, without consulting with the players, they wanted to announce this unanimous policy, which by all published reports was clearly not unanimous, because the owner of the Jets came out immediately and said, I'm not going to pass this on to the players. This was all orchestrated in some kind of kabuki theater that the NFL owners figured this is the way we were going to appease the president. This is the way we were going to play along with this partisan political conspiracy.
That's Mark Garagos, the attorney, says there's more to come.
This case is about to take a dramatic turn. I will tell you that everything that we laid out in our demand under the collective bargaining agreement, we've now made a pretty good analysis of. We've tested it, and it looks like we were either prescient or somebody has decided that they were just going to dime out the NFL for what they were doing.
Well, a piece of evidence already did come through.
What is that?
The president's conversation with saying, you know, you're not going to win on this, NFL. I'm going to win this. So, saying
Mark Garagos got a good lawyer on that.
Yeah. All right, and finally,
number one.
I was gonna clean my room until I got high. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high. My room is still messed up, and I know why.
Why?
Because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high.
There you go. That's Afro Man. The great Afro Man.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, a guy, dude, tried to get stoned on a Southwest Airlines jet. They're having quite a year, aren't they?
Oh, my gosh.
And they had to make an emergency landing because there was an attempt to imbibe in the devil's lettuce.
Doing the devil's lettuce.
Yep. From the back of the plane. at the lavatory.
Oh, geez.
There's a guy. Here is the person who smelled it on the plane, Jonathan Burke.
Looked like that someone needed to smoke a joint on a plane, and he went into the bathroom, smoked his blunt, set off the fire alarm. And that kind of, that was at first we were like, ooh, that's weird. And then the plane, like, took an immediate drop after, like, there was, you know, and that was a little bit scary because I guess the pilot had to turn everything around.
There's, like, million ways to consume weed these days.
Yeah.
Why would you actually light a traditional blunt on a plane?
Gummy bears, my friend.
Yeah, get
What's
a gummy,
wrong with you?
Get an edible. Get a vape thing, whatever it
Brownies.
Is.
Brownies.
Brownies.
Yeah.
Anything.
Right.
Really? You're going to light a blunt?
Yeah.
I know.
Thing that generates the most smoke?
Nobody will notice.
And you know what? It's part of the procedure for the highness.
Dude, let's get on the Mile High Club.
I
oh,
gosh.
Sick.
Sick.
Mile High Club.
You guys have pizza on this plane? Pepperoni.
How do you think you're not going to get caught doing this?
Hey, is this thing on? Attention passengers. Anybody who wants to get burned, come to the back of the plane. Oh.
Dude, he's got the microphone.
I got some righteous devil's lettuce. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, she came from the flight deck. I know it smelled like burning rubber in the back of the aircraft, but just rest assured, there's a guy smoking a bone in the laboratory.
Somebody got sprayed by a skunk? What happened in here?
I'm sure the other passengers loved getting turned around in the emergency landing. And,
yeah.
You know, they thought that was so funny.
Well, you could just arrest the guy and handcuff him to the seat, and then the federal marshals will take care of him when he lands. You don't have to turn everybody around. But right now, Southwest doesn't want to do anything.
No.
Right, because they're like, I don't know, maybe the engine is going to explode.
Ladies and gentlemen, Captain Flight Deck, we got some good news and bad news. Good news is the engine's still attached. Bad news is we got to land the plane because there's a stoner back there.
Jeez.
We know you have a lot of choices when you fly. I'd like to thank you for flying Southwest, taking a chance on us.
Taking a chance.
The top five at five.